audio and video production, a former PR director of the Tri-States Advocates for Scientific Knowledge. His research interest in the UFO topic, well, he's a reporter and public speaker. He's had articles published in the Unopened Files magazine and the Nexus magazine. And his investigations have been featured on the Sightings television series and the NBC two-hour special last year, Confirmation, and reports on his work are carried by Associated Press. He's been a featured guest on many radio programs, including Coast to Coast, Sightings on the Radio in the Psi Zone, and featured locally in newscasts and articles on TV and radio down there in Ohio. Joining us on the phone from his home in Cincinnati, Ohio, is UFO researcher and investigator Kenny Young. Kenny, good evening.
Good evening, Errol Woods. My privilege to talk to you and to be on your show in your 100th program.
Yeah, well, I'm happy that you finally made it for the 100th. I know that, you know, I've been after you for a long time on the phone and by email to come on our program, but unfortunately you were working Sunday nights and you had a work conflict with my work night, or our work night here on Strange Days Indeed, so it's good that you finally made it here.
Well, I'm happy to be here, and let me set the record straight here just a little bit. I'm actually a resident of Florence, Kentucky, which is just across the river from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh.
So I might say I live in Cincinnati and get away with it, but actually I'm across the river, so to speak.
Well, I just assumed because it was the UFO Cincinnati research.
Well, when I moved, I just never bothered to change the name of the website,
I guess. Well, and who would know unless you went on the radio and told 80,000 people. Kenny, I've been aware of you for several years now, thanks to your excellent work in UFO research. And the first question often asked of guests on Strange Days Indeed is, what first got you interested in the UFO phenomena?
Well, Errol, I've been really fascinated by this intriguing subject probably since I was a small child. My first recall of taking interest in this subject was the UFO wave of 1973.
Mm-hmm.
I was a first grader, and there was UFOs literally sighted all around where I live. I'm sure you're familiar with the wave of 73.
Right.
A neighbor across the street came running over to our house in tears, saying that a UFO was sighted in her backyard. She said a big blue diamond. And I can recall being outside playing with my little Hot Wheel toys, only a first grader at the time, and how traumatic this incident was. Mm-hmm. And I was outside during this whole event. I saw nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I saw nothing whatsoever. So that was something that stuck with me. And you know, of course, I went on to read the literature, to start delving into UFO books, just picking one up from the school library. Mm-hmm. I would read Philip Klass's books, numerous books, to really further my interest. And probably around 1993, there was a controversial sighting here in the Cincinnati area of a UFO that was sighted over the Lebanon Correctional Institute.
Uh-huh.
It was in all the papers. It was on television. So that is something that kind of piqued my interest enough to where I started involving myself in researching the topic. And I really became involved in investigations with a videotape that was taken in 1994 in Claremont County, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Being involved in television production and so forth, in public access here in this area, I was kind of fortunate to be on hand when a videotape came our direction that was taken by a resident of Owensville, Ohio, that this person claimed was an unidentified flying object. So in analysis of that video, interviewing the witness, I put together a news segment on the Claremont County recording is what we call it. And then from that point, I just went on to make other inquiries on other cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy the topic. It's really fascinating. It's nonstop controversy.
And by the look of your website, almost nonstop sightings in your area. And that's a slight exaggeration, but it's like every month there's one or two.
that's something I never could figure out. The area around here, it's southern Ohio I'm concentrated in, northern Kentucky. We do seem to have a goodly deal of activity, I suppose you could say, from this area, you know, contrasting that with other parts of the country. Ohio is not really represented well when you look at the national statistics of, you know, like California always is reported as the top UFO sighting location. But actually, I think Ohio is one of these little secrets we have here, because there's a lot of activity that goes on here, and a lot of it I think is very credible. Cases that involve people who report sightings to police offices. And if the listener would take the time to review some of the reports that I collect on the internet and I post on the internet, they'll see a good majority of these are sightings that are reported to police offices.
I think that most of your fellow researchers would agree that the most intriguing case that you've been involved with was the 1994 Trumbull County police UFO chase. If that's the case that was featured in a two-hour NBC special on UFOs last year,
Right. That case, I think, provides evidence of the reality of a situation that's ongoing. It does not establish any sort of catalyst behind the situation, such as it doesn't answer any questions as to where they're from. It simply demonstrates that there is a situation taking place in our skies. It does demonstrate the physical reality of a reported scenario involving unidentified flying objects.
In a world in which science is fairly skeptical about UFOs, citing lack of evidence, it seems to me that you managed to dig up some pretty interesting data during the course of your investigation of the Trumbull County sighting.
Right. When I kind of blundered upon the Trumbull County situation back in 1996, and I did so by accident, I placed a telephone call to a wrong phone number. In fact, I was initially researching an old case of Leonard Stringfield, a UFO researcher also from the Cincinnati area,
right.
Passed away, I believe, in 95. But I was researching an old case of his which mentioned the Liberty Police Department. So in trying to get the number for the Liberty Police Department that was basically a UFO sighting, I asked directory assistance for the Liberty Police Department. I was put in touch with the Liberty Township Police Department, which is actually a different location altogether in northern Ohio. So when I was put through to the department, I began asking about the UFO sighting, and everybody there knew about it right away, which was, you know, not even the case I was initially concerned with. So they went on to give me this really remarkable story of a major incident, a flat-out disturbance that shook the whole township there, the area where this happened, back in 1994. Well, this was 96. I'd never heard of this story before, and for that matter, as far as I know, no other researcher had either at the time.
No, I hadn't heard or read anything about it before, prior to your getting involved.
There was an interesting case that happened in Michigan involving those FAA tower operators, I believe it was, and maybe a weather observer. And that was something that was in the same time frame as far as 94, I think. And that's the one that I think was very well known because it received some media attention. This situation, however, never was given any media attention. And at the 96 phase of the investigation, when I came upon the story, I could not acquire the tape simply because I lacked the date of event. I could not find out when this happened, so without that information, it was impossible for me to get the tapes. It wasn't until 98, 2 years after the initial phase of my investigation, where I was out of the blue contacted by a gentleman who works at the dispatch office in Trumbull County, Ohio, which is in northern Ohio, by the way, northeastern Ohio.
Okay.
This gentleman informed me, he said, I saw your report on the internet about Trumbull County. And he said, I was fascinated by this. He said, I simply could not believe this was true, that this happened in my county where I'm a dispatcher. I've never heard of this before. So reading the information, he felt compelled that there was really some grain of truth behind it, and he conducted his own investigation strictly as a private citizen in no official capacity. And he turned up a couple of leads that led him to a date of this event. And then he sat down one Saturday in the control center and reviewed some tapes, and he started coming across this stuff that as it happened. He sent me a note that said he was just blown away by this when he started hearing these tapes. And so I kept my eyes on the mailbox for a few days. He said, watch the mail. He said, I'm going to send you a copy. So then when I sat down and listened, it's exactly as I expected, but I was still profoundly blown away by the drama that we hear on these tapes.
Mm.
So if you're ready, Errol, I'll let the drama unfold here.
Okay.
And I'll just hold my phone down to the speaker. I hope it sounds good.
Okay. And Graham out there in the control room, a tape coming down the phone line at us.
All right.
County Dispatch, may I help you?
Yeah, did you get any reports or any object in the air about 15 minutes ago?
Somebody called in, but I'm not, and I really don't know what that would be.
It was very strange.
Okay.
Looked like a back end of like one of them fighter planes, you know, like a plane coming out the back.
Okay. Was it just like moving at a slow rate of speed?
It wasn't a slow rate, it was a fast rate, but it was coming down.
It was coming down?
Yes.
Like straight down or at an angle?
Like an angle.
At an angle?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, it wasn't real big in, you know, in the back.
Okay.
The plane.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll check with the air base in Miami and see if they have any report of anything in the area.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay, right. Bye-bye. 996, we have a report by CC, actually two calls in of a vehicle in the sky, unknown object above Sampson Drive. Have you noticed anything?
What's the location?
The area of Sampson Drive.
North or south?
Sir, he just advised in the air, in the sky. He didn't advise direction.
998.
998, hi.
Could he give you a description of the object?
Public service, sir. I'll give you further.
Okay.
What we just heard was citizen advisements to a police office of a reported unidentified flying object.
Right.
So it's important to stress that, because later on in the debate about this issue, we're going to need to evaluate that again. So we're getting citizen reports to officialdom of a reported unidentified flying object. So at this point, the dispatcher, I believe, is going to place a call to what sounds like perhaps a supervisor.
Okay.
And maybe wakes up the gentleman to inform him about this. And you can also note her attitude about the situation, which is quite humorous. Here we go.
County Dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls.
Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
Run down, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Do you want me to call the air base and see if there's anything in the area?
We'll take a look.
I swear to God. You want to hear the call?
Come on, dear, coaster.
You want to hear the call? Wait a minute, I'm going to hear the call. Do you think I'm lying?
I believe you.
No, I swear to God, listen.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Listen to this one.
What's that?
Mark, hey, unidentified flying object.
Somebody called in, but I really don't know what that would be. Okay. I'm stroking the hell out of this guy. Was it moving at a slower rate of speed? Did it dip directly down? I'm going to start a freaking panic. You guys got freaking UFOs over there?
Yeah, ask them if they got any foxes, huh?
Huh?
Spock is in town.
If Doc is in town.
Spock.
Spock. Oh, you mean like Generation Star Trek thing?
Right.
Smart ass. I'll tell them they're forming the sequel. They're filming the sequel right here in Liberty. Okay.
All right.
You let me know. Well, shit, if you get abducted, who am I going to call? OSB? He'll beam Toby up. They'd spin his ass so fast out of that friggin' machine. I swear to God, this is our fourth or fifth call on it.
All right,
bye-bye. Okay. To our knowledge, we've had four different calls, and this particular one came over Samson.
Okay, different areas on Samson itself.
Because I think it said in the sky. That's all we have, in the sky.
Okay. Only out the area.
Out in the area, checking for an object in the sky. Copy at 30 after.
Yeah, dear, this is Stacy from 33. This is going to sound really dumb. I hear Liberty Police are in an area that I got a call about a little bit ago. A woman called, claimed she saw something in the sky.
Yeah, you called me a little while ago.
Okay. I hear they're out there and they've got another call.
Yeah, we finally got one on it somewhere.
What the woman told me was on Samson Drive, like midway in the block, there's a vacant lot or something.
I don't know. Hold on. I was stuck in Liberty Dispatcher.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, dear. This is Stacy from 33.
Hi, Stacy. How are you?
I got one of your...
Did you really?
This woman was almost...
Sorry.
She saw something. She told me that the area was like Samson Drive. There's a vacant field midway through the block.
They're telling me this too, but I mean it's probably some weather balloon or something. You know what I mean? They're checking the area, but I really, these UFO calls are getting out of hand. If it was, what the hell did they come to Liberty for? There's no intelligent life in Liberty. Come on. We're telling everybody they're doing a sequel to the what's that new Star Trek movie, Generation Show.
Blue is green, no noise.
Okay.
It was low flying and took off.
Oh, come on.
Fifth Avenue.
Are you scared? It's driving up Fifth Avenue Extension. Now, no, but, oh, Christ.
Not that high. You're flying. It came down and just zooped over it with a big, glowing object.
Well, we got four calls on it. The last guy said it was a fighter plane. So you tell me that I would do a big news story on the water in Liberty and the effects on the people, because these people are clearly afflicted. But I appreciate the tip. I'll let them know some more on it. I dispatched it because God only knows my luck. You would land here, abduct some people, and I would be in trouble. I'm dispatching.
I was impressed because I heard the way you dispatched it, and I said she's trying real hard not to break.
And I'm working with the biggest jokers on the force tonight, so it's real hard not to.
Lucky.
Well, if we do run into a UFO, I swear I will call you personally.
Okay.
We'll give you an exclusive. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
What we just heard was the reporter Stacy Adger from a Youngstown, Ohio television station, Channel 33.
Mm-hmm.
So this demonstrates for us that the media was privy to the story as it was transpiring.
And yet you didn't hear anything about it for 2 years.
Well, nobody did because the story was never given to the public for consideration.
Mm.
It was simply dropped. So do we have time to continue, or should we take a break at this time?
Graham, how are we doing? We can continue? Okay, we'll go on, Kenny, if you will, please.
All righty.
County Dispatch.
Is this Liberty Police?
Is that
G-Land? Army? Am I calling Liberty Police?
What you need, ma'am?
I wonder, did you have anyone call you about a strange plane or airplane or something in the air?
Yeah, they're checking it out.
Yeah, I just saw it on Samson Road.
Where?
On Samson Drive.
was coming down Sampson Drive. It was almost, it looked like it was, I don't know what it was. If it was a flying saucer or what it was. It wasn't an airplane. It was not an airplane, and it was down awfully low.
Were you the same lady that called Channel 33?
No.
Okay.
You must have had calls, other calls that were done.
Yeah, not many, a couple.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
What did it look like, ma'am?
It was like a, almost like an iridescent color. It was like a bluish purple, you know. It was like a long streak. You know, like it almost was like a, it had fire coming out of the back of it.
Okay.
You know, maybe it was, I don't know what it could have been, I know it wasn't an airplane.
Okay, ma'am, I'll let them know.
All right.
All right, ma'am.
This is the segment where the police is dispatched into the area, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and they begin to exchange correspondence with the dispatch office about the situation.
Okay. From Trumbull County, Ohio.
998 radio.
Not any good.
Yeah, yeah. CC spot me, said it appeared to be hovering about 50 feet off the ground, heading towards Sodom Hutch, and I'm going to be checking that area. It's supposed to be a large object with a lot of lights on it.
Sir, I have another report at Sampson Drive, and also we've been advised by a caller to the media. Media informed us it was a red, it was a blue-green object hovering, no noise. It was in the area of Fifth Avenue Extension.
I'll go that. That Fifth Avenue Extension just came in.
This is just in now.
98.
And then it gets...
See some lights. It's over one block from me. I'm gonna try to get over there. I gotta go down the street here. It's a large object, whatever it is.
996, are you in the area?
Interesting how the dispatcher's attitude has changed, and she's a little more serious about it now as the police are reporting that this thing is pretty darn large.
Exactly. And also the officers involved, their attitude swiftly changed very, very shortly.
Yeah.
If your listeners happen to catch the confirmation special on NBC last year, they would have seen the part where the police officer it goes into the neighborhood and a massive light comes down from the sky, shuts his patrol car down.
Mm-hmm.
He gets out of the car and he puts his hands to his eyes to try to peer up into there. That was a dramatized version of what actually transpired between the part that we heard last and what we're going to hear now. So at this time, he has advised the dispatch office of a red pulsating light that he says was gigantic. The dispatcher at the 911 center is going to now attempt to contact an FAA tower operator at the Youngstown Warren Regional Airport there in Trumbull County, Ohio. So at this time, we'll pick it up from there.
Okay, Kenny.
Yes, sir. This is Ryan from Liberty Township Police Department in Youngstown, Ohio.
Yeah.
We have reported some flying object in our jurisdiction, in our area, above the Sampson Drive, Fifth Avenue Extension area. I could not give you any kind of traffic, you know, direction that would help you know that area. Do you know of anything that should be in our airspace this time, close to the ground?
Right
this
now.
This is not a prank phone call, I swear. You can call me back to verify.
Look at the radar scope, and I go 60-mile diameter of Youngstown, and there is nothing out there.
Oh, shit.
Not even anything up high.
We've got five accounts, five calls in on this.
Yeah.
Something's flying in our area, and it's low to the ground. Would you be able to monitor, like, a Cessna or something with a light on it?
Well, you know, if it was, do you mean visibly?
No, with the radar.
With the radar, it depends on how high it is and where they are. You know, if it's low radar coverage, so it's...
Okay, now I get a test go here and tell them something, and I don't want to say you couldn't find anything. Is there any, like, clause I might use that it might be, like, your personal aircraft or something that might be used at night or something?
Could be. Could be, you know, it just could be anything. As far as, you know, any kind of helicopter traffic or anything down low, they don't have any kind of requirements to...
It made no noise.
...unless they're coming into the airport here.
Okay, so you have no communications with helicopters. It could be something like that?
Yeah, it could be a helicopter.
Okay.
Yeah, the helicopter's particularly flying low.
All right, I'm buying this 100%. But
are you, you know, is that location anywhere near a hospital?
We are close to a hospital, but the location is away from... It's as low as they said it was to the ground. It would be approximately 5 miles away from the hospital.
Yeah.
We're closer to... That end of town is closer, like, out towards the Vienna line. Vienna Air Base area. And that's what I thought maybe it was related to.
Yeah, we haven't had anything going on. You know, nothing coming from that direction.
Okay. Then I'm going to...
Okay, just go out here northbound, climbed up high, and nothing's going on around here.
Okay, I am going to advise you of this. You could take it and file it in your G and in your garbage can if you want to. We've got accounts of this. Hold on 1 second for me.
Denver County Police Dispatcher.
Okay, I've got 4 to 6 calls. Hold on 1 second.
Tapes covering a UFO incident in 1994.
Okay, at this time, I've had 4 to 6 calls come in about a lit object, well-lit object, blue-green light, hovering above the area of Sampson Drive and Fifth Avenue. The object was low to the ground, did not make any noise, hovered there for some time, then continued moving down the Fifth Avenue extension road. My unit was out. He caught something he thought was red. Somebody described it as the end of a fighter pilot plane. I don't know what the hell kind of lines of continuum they're drawing here. I don't see any, but this is what I was advised of, so I wanted to call.
Okay, well, you know, we don't, I have a, if I was downstairs in the radar room, I would have a finder with some phone numbers. We have some 800 numbers as far as, you know, identified flying object reports and things like that. If you wish, you can call out during business hours.
Like I said, I don't know.
I don't see anything out there, nothing on the radar scope. I haven't seen anything, and, you know, we don't really do anything with the information.
Okay, I thought I'd pass along in case somebody was maybe flying without permission, and, you know, night flying or something like that. I didn't know what was going on, but as long as I've done my job so long, and I don't want to sound like a crackpot, but that's what we've got in so far.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
That segment we just heard is really interesting, and I think it's good discussion material there.
Yes.
What we seem to hear is a very disinterested FAA tower controller.
Mm-hmm.
And I often like to speculate that had that been me in the tower working that position, I would have been dreadfully curious for details.
Yeah, he was very noncommittal about it all.
And I did try through various means, including even a Freedom of Information Act request,
mm-hmm.
to that facility. I tried to locate or identify this gentleman who we heard.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't. I mean, there's just simply dead ends everywhere. And trying to do this, this air base in question, it's a joint facility. It's partly civilian airport. The other part is military.
Ah.
So it's one controller on duty during the night. And we're going to hear more from this gentleman later as the drama progresses here. Mm-hmm. But if we could recall very briefly, he said initially he said he had nothing on radar.
Right.
And then he ventured the question to the dispatcher, are you near a hospital?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason perhaps that he was offering that question was to candidly maybe suggest this could be a life flight helicopter. Now, my question is, if he was going to suggest this, why couldn't he see this on his radar, and why did he even ask?
I think that there are experts who would say that the radar only comes down to a certain level.
Well, I've heard that also, but we did a program here in Cincinnati called UFO Update Live. The producer was Bob Leibold.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago, we interviewed a gentleman. He's an air tower controller at the Greater Cincinnati International Airport. He was describing radar and some of its features, and most radar, according to this gentleman, can go down so low that they even pick up truck traffic off of the interstate.
Oh, really?
So now we have to keep this in mind when mm-hmm. we're dealing with these, with the scenarios here. They can go down low. It's not necessarily a situation where there's a blind area, necessarily. Now, I guess circumstances could, maybe dictate if trees are in the way or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, we're still speculating. He offers the suggestion, it seems to be, of this could be a helicopter maybe, but then he, at the same time, says he has nothing on radar.
And then he offers up some 800 numbers for to call UFO researchers and make a report.
Let me just set the stage for this sequence. After
okay.
we hear a little bit of a police traffic on the radio, we're going to hear, I think, a conversation, and this was something that was recorded on the multi-track tapes. It records different channels of information
mm-hmm.
on a tape, and the gentleman who produced the tape arranged it so that we could hear various channels. So we're going to hear a little bit here from the point where the police officer is reflecting upon what happened. Here we go.
998 to radio.
998 good.
Sir, I'm going to quit. I don't see anything right now. What I saw, I have no idea what I saw. It just might have been just a light up in the sky. I don't know. Be in service.
Copy.
925
good.
You may want to advise the surrounding jurisdiction to stop it if they come across that.
Copy.
Is that Legends Road and Sampson Drive out in Liberty?
Yes, ma'am.
I wonder if I heard on the scanner where they were looking for that big blue.
Right, ma'am.
Yeah, did they find anything yet?
Not yet. The dispatcher for Liberty Township right now, she's speaking with the air base to see if they have possibly something in the area at this time.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I heard on scanner. I thought it was one of the flying saucers since it wasn't very far from the ground.
Well, that's why she contacted them in case it was
the news media in on that.
I beg your pardon?
Did they call the news on that?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I thought I heard in the scanner that they did. But they think it might be from the air base.
Right. As I said, the Liberty dispatch is on the phone right now speaking with the air base.
And they think that's where it's from.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay, ma'am. Bye-bye.
We've contacted the FAA administration, and once they've advised nothing on the radar scope in a 60-mile radius of Youngstown. They did advise they have no communication with any helicopters or any private-owned vehicles, air vehicles.
They're not aware of anything then, right?
Negative. He checked the radar and advised negative, nothing on radar within 60-mile radius of the Youngstown area. Again, he did verify they have no contact with any helicopter or private-owned vehicles that might be in the area. We are continually getting calls on this, so.
What's the area?
Still Sampson Fifth Avenue.
We're right there. I don't see anything up in the air now.
how long ago did these calls come in?
This just in within two.
This is air radio. It's only visible to certain people. Some people with scanners. 98 radio.
Dead.
If you get any more calls, try to get an address. I'd like to speak to the people making the call, please.
Copy.
98 radio.
Not any good.
I'll be out of service for a few minutes. I have to gather my thoughts.
Happy gathering, 58.
That was a interesting segment, if you can read between the lines of the radio traffic there.
Yes.
Officer was clearly shaken.
Yeah.
This is a gentleman I did speak with during the 96th phase of the investigation, and I got from him the first indications of what a really big story this was. His description of it was of a massive object, a light, that he said was virtually at treetop level. He said people were all over the place watching this thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same gentleman whose patrol cruiser was shut down by the object. The electrical instrumentation was shut down, and the car restarted after the object ascended back up into the sky. But en route to the scene of the disturbance, and you heard briefly a little while ago, he referenced partially the account. He encountered an elderly gentleman who he said he seemed to be wandering, dazed and lost in the middle of the roadway. If a person that might have seen the confirmation special, you might recall this. This was briefly shown where a gentleman was walking his dog, but the officer said, "I regret now not getting the name of this person." But he approached the officer and said, "This thing was right above my house." And he said that kind of made an impact on him as he headed to the scene, just knowing that there was possibly something going on here.
At the end of that segment that you just played, the car, I think it was Unit 58, who said that he was going to take a break and try and compose himself.
To gather his thoughts, right.
Gather his thoughts.
And the dispatcher responded, "Copy, gathering."
Yeah. Unit 58 was the one that was stalled.
Officer Malero is his name, Toby Malero. He was gracious enough to be interviewed for national television during the confirmation special. And that took a lot of courage to do that.
Yes, indeed.
A number of other officers also went on camera with their version of the story.
And I keep saying this, that we live in a world which science remains fairly skeptical about UFOs, citing lack of evidence. But these tapes that you're playing, these recordings from the Trumbull County Police System, are really remarkable evidence.
Well, it constitutes disclosure of what we don't know, but we do know that there was a situation in progress that demonstrates the reality of an unidentified flying object situation that did take place in 1994. If we have time, I don't know how we're doing on time here.
We're fine. We've got until, we've got at least another 40-odd minutes to go before the end of the program.
Well, let me just get into another segment.
Okay.
And we'll just take it from there.
Good night, Ethan.
Yeah, I'm okay now. I'll be back in service.
59.
I'll also be in service. Phases are disarmed at this time.
Two times your accident, 23-20, 23-20.
Came over my house, right? I said, "Are you serious?" "Yeah, right." "Then you tell me you got a report of it on Fifth Avenue Extension, right?"
"Yeah."
"I'm right by Patty Metzinger's house, and I look towards Fifth Avenue Extension.
Uh-huh.
I could see a red glow up in the sky. It was huge. It was like huge."
"See, but they're telling me blue green because the media called. This woman was crying hysterically. She's like, 'Oh my God!' And she's screaming, and they're like, 'Oh God!' They call me, and I'm laughing it off because I can't, I'm not going to cause a panic.
We don't know, dope or something. I can't stress.
No, because well, Toby, I swear to God, we got 7 to 8 calls on this UFO.
They're scanning us.
No, I'm telling you what, they were coming in at the same time.
Well, anyway, I see this.
And the county thought of us, but they went to another channel to do it because they didn't want to be on their main.
Well, with me, I saw this big red suit glowing in the sky.
Well, that's what the guy said. He said it looked like fighter pilot lights in the back of the tail of a bomber.
Yeah, that's what it looked.
And I said, you know, I said, well, maybe it's a weather balloon. Well, I called up, and Toby, I swear to you, I was laughing it off, and I thought, well, he's going to say weather balloon or something, but he says, no, I don't know. He goes, we have nothing. He goes, we have, and he's giving, he's trying to give me numbers to report it, and I'm taking, I'm saying, no. I don't want any numbers. He's going, well, he goes, you know, I don't have anything at a 60-mile radius of Youngstown. He goes, I'm looking at the radar right now.
Well, this thing wasn't more than about 50 feet off the ground.
Well, that's what I told him. I said, this is low to the ground. I said, you might not pick it up. I said, you know, I said, he goes, well, maybe it's a helicopter. I said, well, I heard from four people something that low to the ground would be making a hell of a noise.
This thing wasn't making no noise.
I know.
Because I rolled down, when I saw the glow, I rolled down my window. I didn't hear a sound. The only sound I heard was my car.
Well, was it moving or was it just...
Yeah, it was glowing. It was moving. You could see it like up in the air, glowing and getting further away from me. That's why I had to go all the way down Overbrook and cut over to get on 6th Avenue. As soon as I turned off 6th Avenue, I didn't see it.
Did Bob see it?
No.
Did Steve see it?
No. I'm the only one that saw it.
There was about 10 other people in Liberty who were just swearing up and down. They saw a UFO. Oh, they'll have a ball of it, because, I mean, they called already.
What did they say? Did you guys locate anything?
Yeah, well, they're like, you know, they're like, but the people are serious. They're very upset. And I'm like, well, it's got to be a weather balloon or something. And I knew it wasn't a weather balloon, because they, you know, FAA would know about it.
Prosecutors said it was green and blue lights.
Green, well, no. The media said it was green and blue lights. I had a man who said it's he said, the thing is, it's got huge and it doesn't make any noise.
That's what I thought.
And I said, well, I said, could it be like a weather balloon? He goes, no. He goes, these lights are incredibly bright. And he goes, and this thing's just hovering. It's not moving. And I said, well, maybe it's a private plane or something.
Now, this thing, whatever it was, lit up, I mean, literally, lit up. You could stand, if you were underneath it, you could see it would be like daylight, those red lights.
Well, I logged it. I know this is coming back up. I know everybody and their brother's going to be calling tomorrow. And I'm like, I logged it.
Did I saw it? Oh, my God.
No, I didn't like you saw it. But you know what? They'll be pulling that tape. We're all going to get our asses shut. You watch, federal government will come out here and go, okay, we're going, oh, little Greenland, Santa Claus, flying Christmas tree, all this shit on the channel. We're all going to get our asses in a grinder. Maybe I won't. So, I don't know. If it was a UFO, it's logged, you know. But, I mean, you saw it. If you saw it.
Well,
what did you think it was? What did you really think it was?
I don't know. Didn't you hear me? I came across it. So whatever it is, it's big.
But you know what? I know you play. You know what I mean? I know you joke around. That's what I said.
I wasn't joking. I was not joking.
For a minute, it didn't sound like you were. I mean, you were laughing, and then all of a sudden, you weren't laughing. And I thought, well, maybe he's trying to make me, like, think there's really this UFO there. And I was like, oh.
No. I wasn't joking. I saw the light. I saw a large red light. A pulse light.
Hold on one second. Howling guy, I think I'm a UFO expert. He wants to talk to me. You want me to let you go?
Yeah, all right. I'll talk to you.
Okay, sweetheart. Take care. Bye-bye.
It was very obvious that the woman, the female dispatcher, really expected the press to descend on them the next day, and yet they didn't.
The officer also did. In fact, if we caught that one part, he said something like, oh, no, they're going to come after me,
right,
or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing of the sort, as we know now, ever took place.
Mm.
No attention was afforded to this issue.
Any idea why there was no attention paid to it?
Well, it's just perhaps general apathy to the subject, perhaps. The issue was unceremoniously dropped. We do know, and let's name her name here, Stacey Adger with the Youngstown, Ohio Channel 33.
Mm-hmm.
She knew the story was going on. She had a scanner. She had received calls, so she heard the chase. Your explanation is as good as mine there. I just think it's just general laziness myself as to why the situation was never pursued. I don't see anything conspiratorial, except if you want to say laziness is conspiratorial, perhaps that's our answer.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, not being able to track down the radar operator at the airport, which you played earlier on, and him just not being interested in any of this stuff, despite the fact that it was a police dispatcher who was asking him questions.
Right. And we're going to hear in this upcoming segment a little more from the radar operator. And at this time, I'll start the tape where the incident's really just beginning to take off here.
County Dispatch, may I help you?
Yeah, this is Allen 433.
Hey, 433.
How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty good.
Liberty was spotting earlier.
Oh, cut it out.
No, I'm serious.
You
We've been watching it for about 10 minutes now.
Your ass.
No, I'm serious.
Man.
Go straight out your door.
Hold on.
I'm on hand hide.
Where is it at?
I'm on hand hide, okay?
Get me. I want to go see this. Is it outside? Can I, like, see it from here?
Oh, you'll see it.
Here.
I can't believe
plug
it.
Into me. All right, I'm going to go out look at it now.
All right, if you're up high enough, it's straight east of you.
It's east of me?
Straight east of you. Look straight
which,
up.
Which way do I go when I, okay, up.
You know where Kane Drive is across from the hospital?
So, plug in for me. I'm going to go out. Liberty, get Holland Liberty. I'm going to run out. Stay on the phone.
Okay.
Okay, I'm coming back. I'll tell you if I see it.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Mikey, do you got a copy of your seat? Yeah, that thing has not moved in 10 minutes that I've been watching it. Come up on Henhide and start south off of King's Grave if you're on Henhide. Come on down, you'll see me park. I've been watching this thing through my binoculars. I can't quite make it out. It changes colors from white to red to green. You know, those are colors of planes, but this sucker has not moved. It hasn't gone any direction since I've been watching it. It's a good 10 minutes.
It's an alien. It's an alien.
Yeah, it's an alien, all right.
Prove it.
Hello.
She went outside. She was back in a minute.
Okay. I couldn't believe it. I was just putting by my house, and I looked over, you know, laughing. We think we had one 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked over, and I said, oh, here's a plane coming in to land, you know, because I'm used to seeing those. This thing has not moved in 10 minutes.
Huh.
And it's too bright and too low, and it changes colors to be a star.
It's an alien that came down to steal all our Christmas presents.
Yeah, I wish. Hang on.
Maybe it's Santa Claus.
Go ahead, 429.
Where are you at?
You see my car down on Henhide, about half to a quarter of a mile, somewhere in there, down from King's Grave.
Okay, you got a pretty good view out here on King's Grave. Kind of a little bit further.
Okay, you see it? I mean, I got a perfect view where I'm at. I just can't quite make it out through my binoculars.
I got me my headset.
Can you go to 14?
Right, I'm on public service too, so hang on, I'm trying to juggle mics. Okay, I'm on 14. You got copies?
Yeah, it looks like I'm getting pretty close here, but I can't really judge how far out it is, you know?
Oh, I've been stationary since I called you, you know, however long it took you to come from over on the west side. That bugger has not moved.
Yeah, well, I'm going over 11 right now, and it looks like I'm starting to maybe get next to it here.
Good way.
See it?
No, see it down over here just above the trees. So, yeah. Okay, has it moved any? It looked like it might have flickered a little in that because it's moving slightly.
It's moving on the binoculars. I would think the airbase could get a pretty good eye on it.
Okay, Mikey's up here with me now. He's looking through the binocs. It looks like it might have moved just slightly because it moved from one side of a tree to another. But it's still visible right here where we're at.
Over about 11.
I'm out here at Ridge already.
You say you're at Ridge at the airbase? Okay, it should be south of you, right?
Yes, sir.
Look like it's doing circles, Tina?
Yeah.
But,
this is a movement. What area is it in?
Huh?
What area?
Hang on one sec. Davey. So what area do you think it's in now? Hang on a second.
Okay, where you're at and where I'm at, I'm about half a mile south of Kings Grave on Henhide.
Henhide, half a mile south of Kings Grave.
It's still a little bit south of me, so where are you at as far as on Ridge Road?
Do you guys have to take pee tests at all, Howard? Because we went outside, we didn't see anything. They all see it. We were all on Henhide. We didn't see it.
Okay, well, we're on Henhide north of Kane's. Okay, there's a brand new house under construction, and we're watching it right through the empty fields.
You're seeing it through the field?
Yeah, we're seeing it. All our cars
are coming. What color is it? Because I got three of them.
It ranges from like a whitish red to pulsating greenish lavender.
Did you see any red? It was a whole red light. You said it looked like.
Well, from the distance, I mean, I can't tell. My binoculars are a cheap set of binoculars. I thought I saw some red. Let me check with Dave from his angle. Do you see red and green on it? Hey, Dave, from your angle,
I'll call the airport.
Pulsating red and green.
I'm telling you, we went outside, we didn't see anything.
Yeah, what?
I'm calling the airbase again.
Okay.
Hold on. Just stay on the line.
Ooh, I'd gladly come down, pick you up in the car, and bring you.
I want to see it. Come get me.
All right.
Come get me.
Right.
I'll be outside. All right.
Okay.
All right. I need a break. He's gonna take me to see it. I don't believe this.
Graham, we have time to continue? Yeah, Graham Elliott says we have time to continue out there in the control room. So.
Okay, I believe this next segment is when they're going to try once again to contact the FAA tower operator. Here we go.
Okay.
Where's the number I had before? Here it is. Yes, sir. This is Rain again from the center here in the 911 center. I called you about Liberty Township.
Yes, ma'am.
The darn thing is in Howland Township now, and it's hovering over a site. Did you show anything at all on your radar screen in the Warren area?
In Howland Township.
Howland Township.
That's hovering where?
Hovering over a Henhide in Howland Township, about 5 minutes here from the center. They're seeing this. They're watching this thing. It goes 50 feet from the ground. There's blue and green lights. Some people say they see a red holding light. Hovers about 50 feet from the ground with no noise. We've had this all night.
Here, looking to the west. Yeah, I don't see anything. I'm 70 feet in the air.
I'm going about to look for this right now. My unit's coming out here. Tell me when he's out here.
Okay, let me get a pair of binoculars. Let me call
Can you check that? Let me give you a number to contact, 675-2549.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
I'm going to look at it now myself.
All right.
Bye.
When I spoke with the officers during the 96th phase of the investigation, I spoke with several of them, and I kind of received a collective bafflement from all of them that the tower operator could not see this. They said at his elevation at 70 foot off the ground that he should have seen this object.
Yeah, he should have been looking down at it from the sounds of it.
Sure, and even more so as the pursuit, we call it, continues on the tape, which we won't have time to hear all of. But as the pursuit continues on, they actually, one officer goes to this airbase. He mm-hmm. pulls up to the gate out front, and he gets out of the gate, and he talks with the guard at the guard shack, and he points to this object, and they said, do you know what this is? And he says, no, I don't know what it is.
So the guard could actually see the object that the guy 70 feet up in a control tower could not.
Go figure. I mean, you know, what can you say about that?
We have probably about 7 or 8 minutes left.
Okay. All righty. Well, time is our enemy here.
Indeed.
So we're going to delete a major portion of the tape just mm-hmm. so we can get the last segment in here.
Okay.
What we're going to skip over is a segment we call the police pursuit, which is really hard to listen to just as something to sit back and enjoy because it contains heavy radio traffic, a lot of noise, a lot of static. But during this course of the tape, we hear many officers converge upon this object from different positions. They triangulate its its position in the area, which rules out a lot of astronomical
phenomena, Venus.
Possibilities.
Yes.
So a lot of the skeptic bunkers that try to attack this case, they kind of like to ignore that, you know.
Mm.
But we also hear one officer observing the object through his binocular. He observes a parachute-like appendage attached to the object.
Mm.
The object assumes a path as it travels on. And again, like I mentioned earlier, there's a segment involving the airbase where an officer, out of frustration, goes to the airbase.
Right.
And then at that point, he encounters a security officer there.
Mm-hmm.
So this last segment is, I believe, a Howland Township police officer talking with the dispatcher on his end. We'll start from there, and hopefully time will allow this segment to be played out. So
okay.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Hey, Baker.
Yeah.
All right, I talked to these guys. Everything's all right. They're going to go back to where they came from.
Who?
I can see them.
Did you see anything?
I got them right here. I'm looking at them.
What the hell is it?
Hold on a second. I got to turn my lights on before I get rear-ended.
Okay.
Well, I can see them from Warner Road. They're sitting stationary. I got three of them.
Uh-huh.
One is over, there, and then there's two kind of close together.
What do they look like?
Well, I'd like to say that they're just like flickering stars, except I've got four discernible colors.
Uh-huh.
I got red, yellow, green, and blue, and the one just was like flashing. So if they're those planets those guys were talking about, then they're planets with Christmas lights on.
You can see them.
I can see them. Not like clear as day. I don't see any wings or anything.
Uh-huh.
To see them. Yeah.
Unreal.
Hold on a second.
Unreal. What are you doing?
That's what I mean. I mean, I can, without my binoculars, I can see red, yellow, green, and blue.
Okay.
I mean, they're way over there. They got to be way over in Cortland.
No. Did you hear Cortland on the air?
Yeah.
The UFOs will come into Cortland.
I can't believe it.
He's killing me. So you're having an experience?
No, because I can't see. I mean, they look, they're so far away, they look like stars.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like
teeny tiny. Well, the first calls we got from Liberty were they were like 50 feet above the ground.
Yeah, well, they could be on their way home.
All right. I think everyone else in this county should go home.
Yeah, I'm about ready to. This is weird. I had a beat on them from the tower. They were close. They got to be going away because they were closer than this. Now I'm looking at them. Oh my God.
What?
And they're not a plane because here goes a plane, and I can see the plane, and the plane is blinking red, and the fact that there's another plane. I think
they're scrambling planes out of SATCOM 1 to go check them out.
Wait a minute.
What?
Oh my God. I hope that's a plane. Oh, Jesus Christ, please be a plane. Oh, please.
What, Lisa?
I ain't ready for this shit. Hold on. Little bitch, where'd you go? That's a plane, so thank God. Well, I get nervous when they're coming right at me. There's three planes up there. I'll tell you what, they're flying from the Air Force Base.
Really?
Something's got to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hold on. I'm about to get drilled again.
Where are you?
Right here.
I mean, where are you?
Warner Road, south of Frick. All right, what are we doing with this now, Pete?
Well, I have no idea.
Well, you know what? I can tell it's not in our airspace, so it ain't our call.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
That guy sounded most unhappy about this thing flying toward him.
Well, as the event progressed, one thing I neglected to mention there was that multiple objects were seen, and this was not just this one gentleman. Other officers were reporting objects in different parts of the county.
Yeah.
So that complicated the whole situation, which was already, I guess, complicated to start with. But we're left with a lot of questions about this event.
Yes.
I know that after the confirmation special, one thing that interested me was the reaction from certain people that were somewhat skeptical to the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who I suspect maybe had an agenda came out of nowhere and tried to attribute this case to twinkling stars. and when we really evaluate the case data, we can easily discount that because simply to apply that explanation is really disregarding the data of the case.
Yes.
And
is disrespectful to these men in uniform.
Well, of course, I'm willing to acknowledge that mistaken observations happen and happen frequently.
Yes.
But in this case, I think we've got some quality observations that were documented and recorded here on these 911 tapes. And in the process of interviewing a witness, this is really what struck me. Was during the 96 phase of the investigation when I conducted the interviews with the officers. I talked to one officer who was standing on the road and watching this thing, and I said, "What did it look like?" And they said, "This was nothing more than a massive red rotating saucer, a physical object." And I was trying to poke for flaws in the story or description. Was it just a light? Was it just something you could see through? Was it transparent? No. This was a saucer that rotated as if it were on an axis.
Were you given an idea of the size, an estimate of the size?
Well, the size was something that basically the word massive were used
okay,
to attribute
enough.
To the
yes,
object.
Yes.
One thing that interested me was one particular astronomer, James McGahey, came forward on the confirmation special and totally disregarded all this testimony to the contrary. And
I have to say that McGahey, having talked to him, is an idiot.
Well,
you know, for a former Air Force pilot, this man is an idiot.
I won't go that far, but I will say that I did attempt to contact him.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman did not respond to me. I laid out a number of issues I wanted to discuss with him.
Mm-hmm.
No response. I mailed this to him. I believe he's in an observatory, Arizona, perhaps. I don't know for sure.
In Arizona, yeah, outside Tucson, apparently.
But this kind of his attitude of non-responsiveness to discussion on this sort of it reminds me of a lot of these politicians we read about in the papers today that will not hold news conferences to address the hard questions. In other words, they can proclaim anything as long as they don't have to answer.
Yes.
Questions about it.
Investigation by proclamation, as Friedman says. Yes.
There you go. So that's what was used in this case. He said this was simply a case of twinkling stars and misidentification of planets. We looked at the constellations or the star charts, and there was nothing that would have really been outstanding that night that would have caught the eyes of these officers and made them be misled. So he suggested that this was a meteor that came down right at the moment that the officer's car stalled. How likely is that? You know, not very likely, I don't think. So,
just blindly ignoring the evidence and desperately grasping for a logical explanation.
Well, they almost have to in this case if they're wanting to support an ideology.
Yes.
In which case, I hate to say that some people would do that. But here we're dealing with evidence of an incident that they have to put a spin on were they to have an agenda. And they had to do that. This gives them, you know, an agenda to fulfill, if you will.
Kenny, we're out of time.
Well, Errol, it's been my pleasure.
It's been our pleasure. This is really remarkable, the tape that you've come up with. And I think you and I need to discuss putting it up out there so that people can go and listen to it any damn time they want to.
Sure thing.
Okay.
Sure thing. And I thank you for having me on the show.
And thank you for being here, Kenny Young.